The governor's staff and I had talked a little while about ways I can contribute. It's certainly known I'm kind of a policy wonk. It wasn't like I was looking for a full-time job or anything, but certainly ways to contribute. And education has been something I've been involved in all my life. This is actually my third stint of teaching at U of I. I taught bioengineering class in 2003 and then in 98 and 99, but certainly involved in a lot of professional education. Part of what I do is teach cybersecurity classes overseas also. And the charity I run, it builds elementary schools in Africa. So education is certainly something that's important to me. And it's something that in one way or the other, I've been involved with my whole life. When we talked about that and said, you know, hey, how about the Board of Higher Education? It made a lot of sense.
And what do you think you can specifically bring to the board as someone who's a contingent faculty member? What can you bring to the board in that facet?
Well, there's certainly some objection, right, which I'm sure we'll talk about contingent non-tenured faculty having the representative or the board position that's designated for a faculty member. The reality is we saw that here on the campus at U of I that, almost a majority of classes are taught by contingent faculty. And that's true nationally, too. The trend is, rightly or wrongly, this is where we are, where contingent faculty are the ones doing a large, if not a majority, amount of teaching at some institutions, but they don't have voices in various parts of shared governance or whatever. That was part of the non-tenure faculty strike is how they get a say in shared governance. So I certainly think that perspective, I can certainly bring. There are many faculty members I do talk to, and I have meetings with all the ones who've objected to hear their perspective. So certainly I'll bring their viewpoints to decisions that come up. But as somebody who's been around U of I for a good long time, to be honest, really, I'm looking forward to getting to know more about all the other institutions of higher learning in the state because, you know, as of today, kind of my perspective is of somebody who's been around U of I for well over 21 years now.
You mentioned some of the pushback, to your appointment from full-time faculty. Have you heard now from some of those folks directly?
I have a meeting. I'm meeting with the Senate Executive Committee of the U of I Faculty Senate next week. Many of the other universities are more kind of summers off. So come fall, I'll be having meetings with them. Insofar as they make themselves known and want to have a meeting, I'm happy to go wherever to meet with them in person.
And you talked a little bit about this, but they've voiced concerns that their perspective is you don't truly represent the voice of faculty because you're not a full-time faculty member. Mm-hmm. You talked about that a little bit just with so many classes being taught by contingent faculty, but what are some other maybe responses you have to their concerns?
Well, I mean, I would argue, this both my undergraduate, not all the grad classes I've taken, but a good deal of them have all been north of green, right? So I wouldn't deign to sit there to say inherently I can speak to what it's like to be a contingent faculty member in ACES or any of the other disciplines. I mean, U of I is, among other things, a huge enterprise of many different colleges. So there's a need certainly to listen, right, in any representative role. That's the most important thing is to be able to listen to the perspective of others and let that influence your thinking and decision, right? I don't think, a specific credential makes that skill set any more or less apparent. You either have it or are willing to do it or you're not.
Your appointment needs to be consented to by the state mm-hmm. Senate. Where are we in that process?
Because of when I was appointed, April, I think formally on April 18th, and then the focus was on the budget. There weren't many appointments that were processed. They're not even that far in the list to get to where I am. How that plays out during the summer, it really depends on how often they meet for the budget and if there's a veto session, if so, how many days. And just because of some of what's going on in Springfield, it's hard to say with any certainty in terms of how or when that would play out because it's driven by other factors that are unrelated, namely the budget, which is the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you heard from any senators yet about the appointment?
I mean, there's a few that I've talked to. Senator Bennett, who is my state senator, we've trying to arrange our schedules to have a sit down. I've talked to some state representatives as well. So I've done some reaching out. I was in Springfield a few weeks ago, meeting with a handful of them. Many have known me for a good long time, and some, you know, are relatively unknown to me, but as best I can, trying to at least have a conversation with all of them at some point in time.
What will your priorities be? Assuming your appointment is approved by the state senate, what will your priorities be on the board?
Well, ultimately, largely, it's kind of contingent on a higher education budget. I mean, at a certain point, assuming a worst-case scenario, of no state appropriation for higher education, there isn't much that can be done aside of crisis planning. The Board of Higher Education is a coordinating and not a governing board, so we don't really have any direct role in terms of how universities operate. There's approval of programs, and that kind of work still goes on. But if we enter, some would argue we're already in a crisis phase, but I guess, if we enter a deeper crisis phase when we're dealing with the real eminence of universities not opening or potentially closing, then, unfortunately, probably a lot of our work is going to be dealing with the many aspects of what universities not opening on time looks like and how to handle undergraduates who, are otherwise students at a university that doesn't open, or many of the directional universities have seen drops in enrollment because of loss of confidence. So we may be dealing with a lot of our time may be focused just on dealing with firefighting, in essence, instead of other initiatives that could be undertaken. So I'd like to say, that we're going to have a higher education appropriation, but I won't deign to tell you what will happen in Springfield. I don't think anybody can predict it at this point.